Receiving communion just a little bit later, and so tonight is more of an exhorting and not a deep, a lengthy message like I use. Well, not usually lengthy anyhow, am I? Say amen, Jason. Okay, all right. But anyhow, praise the Lord. If you'll turn to Galatians chapter 5, please, as we go to the Word this evening, Brother James. Somebody should have said amen without me asking for the amen. When you tell the truth, you know. Hallelujah. Galatians 5 and verse 1. Galatians 5 and 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us tonight. Thank you that you've already been talking, Lord, as we've worshiped. But God, as we continue to worship through preaching the Word, thank you for accomplishing your purpose in our lives. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Stand fast in liberty. This verse really summarizes chapter 4, where the theme in chapter 4 has been bondage and freedom. And probably every one of us knows what bondage is like in some way. But also, aren't you glad that you know what it's like to be free? The Bible says, he that the Son hath set free is free indeed. This verse also introduces chapter 5. Paul declared that it is Jesus who sets believers free. Sometimes we need to be reminded of where we've come from so that we'll appreciate the freedom we have. Amen? I don't want to go back there. I don't want to meditate too long on the past. But I need to remember that I have been set free in Jesus Christ. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? A wonderful thing. Then Paul said, or he appealed to the Galatians, and he said to stand firm in the freedom that they had in Christ. So first of all, tonight, stand firm in your freedom. I'll tell you, I know I'm free. Feels good to be free to worship. Feels good to be free to live. In this freedom in Christ, I've learned to enjoy life. Anyone else? And we do, don't we? I am free in Him to pray, to worship, to work, to serve, to live. I'm free to enjoy this life, knowing that there's a better life coming. The second point tonight is this. Don't be entangled again in bondage. Don't be entangled again in bondage. After he said that, he began to talk about other people's expectations of us. Or let me put it, other people's expectation of them. You know, sometimes we get discouraged because we try to live up to other people's expectations. Some people expect more of us than maybe we think they should. But sometimes we're also disappointed because sometimes we expect more of ourselves than we should. Now, I'm not sure that happens a whole lot, but I'm sure it happens some. It does to me. Because I set these goals for my life and these expectations for me, and then when I don't reach them, I get discouraged. Come on, how many of you can relate to that? And I said, I'm going to be better at this, or God, I'm going to do better, I'm going to be closer. And then I find out I missed the mark. I missed the mark of what I set instead of what God set. So Paul began to talk to the Galatians about other people's expectations of them. You know, rules, guidelines, and even God's laws must not be allowed to burden us. Let me say that again. Rules, guidelines, expectations of others, and even God's laws must not be allowed to burden us. Now, the Bible says His commandments are not grievous. That means something we can live with, that we can enjoy. How many of you know we can enjoy obeying God? But see, even God's Word, what He requires of us can become a burden. It becomes a burden if we go through the motions, or even if we obey His Word out of duty instead out of love. Did you get that? When we obey God's Word mainly out of duty instead of out of love, it becomes a burden. And it weights us down. Not that God's law is wrong, not that His commandments are wrong, but our love's not where it should be. You know, we can give the impression that if you don't do this in a certain way, then you're not spiritual. I'll soon be 61, but I don't plan to dry up and wither away. Brother Bob's way past 61, and he's not going to dry up either, are you, brother? My desire, and I'm going to do everything I can to stay close to the Lord, because my desire as I get older is to still have the energy to do what He's called me to do. Now, we can give the impression that if you don't do this the way I do it, don't act like me, then you're not spiritual. Amen? For the believer, I'm just hitting some things lightly tonight, but for the believer, Scripture liberates. Doesn't it? Even when God gives a hard word, have you ever had a hard word and you needed it? How many of you had a hard word and didn't really like it at first? But it was God and it was true? You see, when we love the Lord and His Word speaks, even when it's a hard word, it liberates. It brings freedom to our lives. He said, "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free." Scripture causes a sense of freedom. When our serving of the Lord and our serving in the church is out of love for Jesus and for the people. If you love God and you love people, you don't mind serving. If you love yourself more than you love God and more than you love others, you complain about serving. Amen? Am I telling you the truth? In Galatians 5, people were placing demands on other believers that were not necessary for salvation. If we're not careful, we can do the same thing. If you don't dress like me, then you're not saved. How many of you are glad you don't have to dress like me? See a lot of smiles. You're not saved. We don't need to place demands on people. God's Word sometimes is demanding. Will you be honest with me? But when you love Him, you don't mind His demands. Are you still with me? Galatians chapter 5 and verse 6 in the New Living Translation, if you'll put that up there. For when we place our faith in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. It's not the do's and don'ts that others expect and even some of the traditions we have, but it's that faith expressed itself in love. That's what Jesus did. He expressed the Father to us in love, didn't He? Now go to Galatians 5 and verse 13. 5 and 13. For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. This morning, remember what I preached this morning? Called to belong. See, He said, you have been called to liberty. When Jesus brought you into the kingdom, when He saved you, He brought you into a state of freedom and liberty. You're no longer bound by sin. Sin no longer has power over you. Now the Holy Spirit is working in your life. He says, you have been brought, called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. We are called to be free. If I couldn't enjoy this Christian life, I wouldn't want to be a Christian. Would you? If I couldn't enjoy serving the Lord, I wouldn't want to serve Him. It's a thrill to know Jesus. It's a thrill. I was thinking today how long in July it'll be 45 years since I first started pastoring. I tell you, 35 years. I tell you, God has been good to me. I'm enjoying who I am in Him. Are you? Hallelujah. Just because God's grace is enough. How many of you know His grace is enough? How many of you know it's more than enough? Where sin abound what? Grace did what? Much more abound. But just because God's grace is enough does not give us the license to sin. That's what He's talking about here in Galatians chapter 5. We've been called to liberty. God's grace is more than enough. But because God's grace grows and because His grace is more than enough, His grace abounds, doesn't give us the right to continue to sin. He's brought us out of that sin. Well, God will forgive me. It won't hurt me to try this one time. And I believe in the grace of God, don't you? But God's grace was never meant to be abused. So we would make the decision that we're going to sin because we know that God will forgive us. Amen? His grace is enough. By serving, see, by love, because of His grace, by love, we're to serve one another. Have you ever had trouble serving another person? Anybody here ever washed somebody else's feet? You remember how you felt when you did it? Oh, Anybody here ever had your feet washed in a service somewhere? How many of you know how you felt when they did it to you? It's humbling. It's humbling, isn't it? I'm not telling you we have to go around washing each other's feet all the time. But it's humbling to serve others. And you know what? It's also humbling to let other people serve us. Because we're independent. See, I want to do this thing by myself. God wants to send people to serve you, to bless you. I've talked to some young preachers over the past couple of years that found it difficult to receive if an offering's received for them. I felt the same way. I just wanted to preach. In Florida, going to Bible school, I'd go preach at a church and they'd take an offering, or at the end he'd try to give me a check. And I said, no, you don't have to do that. So I had an elder pastor take me aside and talk to me about allowing people to bless me. See, if you really love God and people, you want to bless others. And sometimes we want to bless others so much that it's hard for us to receive a blessing. Does that make sense? A young evangelist not too long ago talked with me about the same thing. And he said, you know, I've just been giving it back and I don't need it. And we're getting ready. And he said, we're getting ready to make this move and I don't know where we're going to come up with the money. And he said, and I said, listen, he said, I love to give. How many of you love to give? See, he said, I love to give. So, he said, I just can't take the money when they try to give it to me. So we talked about it, and we prayed about it, and we discussed it. So he talked to me a while back, and he said, Brother Bracken, I want you to know I've been taking the offering, and I've been putting it aside because that's what's going to help move us. By love, we serve one another. And through love, we need to allow others to serve us. Amen? Does that make sense to you tonight? Go with me to Exodus, please. Chapter 21, verse 1. By love, serve one another. Not just about money, but serving, being a blessing, helping wherever there's a need. Exodus 21 and verse 1 in the NIV, and then verses 1 through 6, I believe it is. These are the laws you are to set before them. If you buy a Hebrew servant, he is to serve you for 6 years. But in the seventh year, he shall go free without paying anything. If he comes alone, he is to go free alone. But if he has a wife when he comes, she's to go with him. If his master gives him a wife and she bears him sons and daughters, the woman and her children shall belong to her master, and only the man shall go free. But if the servant declares, I love my master and my wife and my children and don't want to go free, then his master must take him before the judges. He shall take him to the door or the doorpost and pierce his ear with an awl. Then he will be his servant for life. He'll be his servant for life. Servant. The word servant in our text there means a love slave. That doesn't mean what we're seeing happening today, where young women and women are taken and sold into slavery for sexual reasons. But he's talking about having a love for the master, having a love for the one that you serve. You see, this servant served because he loved his master. Philippians says, Jesus took on himself the form of a servant. Why? Because he loved his Father. And because he loves you. And because he loves me. And Exodus 21 and 1 through 6 in the Complete Biblical Library, it says, the man had the right to become free, but because of his love for his master, he chose to become a slave forever. The man had his earlobe pierced with an awl and became a marked man from that time on, for the scar would remain. Those who now serve Christ through love instead of duty are marked men and women. They are different. People who serve the Lord because they love Him, not just to get to heaven, because they love Him, not because it's duty, because they love Him, they are different. different. We don't serve Him just for what we can get. We serve Him for who He is. And He deserves our love. They're different. I believe you're different. I want to be called different. Anybody else? Because of my love for Him. Now, Galatians chapter 6, go over there. Next chapter, Galatians 6 and verse 1. Then he says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then he shall have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Will bear his own burden. In the King James Version of Galatians 6 and 1, I believe it says, if a brother, man be overtaken in a fault, F-A-U-L-T, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou be tempted. Fault. In the Greek, that means a false step. A false step. So Paul begins to caution in chapter 6, and Paul cautions that we could as easily be vulnerable to temptation. I can't believe, Brother Bracken, that so-and-so fell into sin and have gotten away from God. You too are vulnerable. It can happen to you. Come on, are you with me today? Not me, Brother Bracken. I've been saved a long time, full of the Holy Ghost. You too could fall into sin. There's been great men and women of God that you know God's hand is upon that have fallen. Who are you and I to think we can run this race and not fall or be tempted to fall? I tell you, if we love Him with all our heart and put Him first and serve Him out of love and continue to do that, we won't fall into sin. Come on, am I telling you the truth this evening? Satan's a deceiver. Anybody ever been tricked by the devil? Anybody ever been tricked by other people? Anybody ever been deceived to believe a person was something they weren't? Have you ever deceived somebody else that thought you were something you weren't? Let me ask you a question. How would you want to be treated if you fell into sin? I mean by other people, by other believers. How would you want to be treated? Something to think about. We don't throw people away because they sin. We don't stomp them because they sin. Amen? It is our responsibility, if we're walking in the Spirit, to bear the burdens of those who are going through a time of weakness. Now, not just sin, but weakness. Sometimes believers get weak. Have you ever been weak in the faith? Weak at times. And somehow you and I have got to help that person that is weak. I can't say I've always done that well. Can you? Have there been times you needed somebody to help you when you're weak and they weren't there? Have there been times others have been weak and you weren't there for them? Or they weren't there for you? People can make a false step, and we can encourage them, can't we? God will use you and use me to help them out and help them up. John chapter 13. and 34. A new commandment, Jesus said, I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That you also love one another. You know what? We know we're supposed to love one another. We know we're supposed to love our brethren. But Jesus said we're supposed to go beyond that. I'm still working on it. How about you? He says to love others as I have loved you. How much has He loved you? If you and I can love people like He does, dear Lord, we can win them to the Lord. If we love one another like He does, then we can be encouraged. We will be encouraging each other. If we love Him like He loves us, we can pack this place out. He didn't say just love. He said a new commandment. I can see why it's new. Love as I've loved you. Love one another. That's a powerful command. It's not a request. How many of you know we take too much of God's Word as a request when it's a command? This is a command. Brother Bracken, is this a command that becomes a burden? Only if you don't really love Jesus and don't love people. Amen? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. I want to read it again. Galatians 6 and 2. Bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ means the law of God as spoken and lived out by Jesus. If you want to know what the law of Christ is, look at Jesus' life. If you want to know how to live, live like He lived. If you want to know how to forgive, forgive like He forgave. You know why we can do that? Because Christ is in us. That's the only way. You and I have the ability of God within us. If we tap into that ability to love people the way Jesus loves, to be able to reach out the way He reached out, to be able to give ourselves the way He gave Himself. It means the law of Christ spoken and lived out. So if you want to learn how to live this Christian life, read the book, but look at Jesus. I keep mentioning Larry Lee because even though I've read this, Could You Not Tarry, 1 hour 25 years ago, and we're teaching it on Wednesdays, but I remember he said after he first got saved, what he started doing was reading the red. How many of you know what the red is in the Bible? It's the words of Jesus. And he still tells this in his testimony. He said, when I got saved, he said, I started reading the red and praying for the power. He said, I kept reading everything Jesus said and I'd pray for the power. God changed his life. Because he read everything Jesus said and took it seriously. My. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. 6, 9 and 10 in the NIV. Let us not become weary in doing good, King James says, in well doing. For at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. How many times have you and I quoted, listen, don't be weary in well-doing, because in due season you'll reap if you don't faint. It's not a time to quit now. How many of you ever quoted that verse for yourself? Have you ever given it to somebody else when they were discouraged? Listen, don't give up now. Don't quit now. Don't be weary in well-doing because in due time or due season, you're going to reap. A harvest is coming. Don't give up what? Well, he tells us in verse 10, he says in due season, we reap if we don't faint. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men. Now, don't give up on doing what? See, if you continue to do good to others, if you continue to do good, especially to other believers, you will reap. If you don't quit, if you continue to do good to others, and especially to believers, you will reap a harvest. I preached this for years and never made the connection. You see, if you can't reach out to those in the church, you'll never reach out to the world. We get our eyes on Africa and we get our eyes on other countries, and we need to be spreading the gospel over there and sending money and missionaries. But if we don't care for the people in the church, not going to be much good out there. Amen? Let me ask, who have you blessed in the church lately? Not blessed out. Who have you blessed in the church lately? Who have we blessed? Brother Bracken, I'm too busy to bless anybody. Oh, dear Lord. No, you're not. You're not too busy to breathe, are you? In due season, we'll reap if we faint, if we refuse to stop loving others, and especially those in the family of God. We reap if we keep doing good to others, not just among us, but it's got to begin among us. Are you? Come on. And it has to continue among us. I have to admit, I've dropped the ball in the church. Can I go a little bit further and say there's times we've dropped the ball? And caring for those that are among us. I don't feel too good about that. It makes me want to do better. Does it you? It makes me want to do more. Now go back to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature. We must be committed and be responsible. It's hard to build a church, it's hard to reach a community if we're not committed. And if we don't take our responsibilities seriously. Different ministries have different responsibilities holding people accountable. But you know, though commitment is expected and though responsibility is, we should take seriously, we must do so out of love for the Lord and love for His church. That's why we show up on time when we're involved in ministry. That's why we call if we can't be here. What would you think of me if I didn't show up one Sunday? Brother Bracken didn't call or do anything. Where is he? I do that very many times. I'd be packing my bags. Because you'd want me to. Am I telling you the truth? Come on, shout me down, amen on me, or say, please help me one. When you love Jesus, you'll love people. We're brand new people. It's not because we're meeting the requirements of other people. We're meeting the requirements that God has for us, and we're doing it out of love for Him, and we're doing it out of love for people. I don't know how you can be a Christian and not love people. I've heard people talk about pastors in conversation where they said, love the minister but hate people. Dear Lord. Brother, they're in the wrong place, aren't they? Doing the wrong thing. What do you think ministry is? It's not a building. Hurricane can wipe this building out. Church is the people. So take every responsibility and commitment seriously. But serve the Lord because you love Him. Not because of duty. Now sometimes if we're not careful, it becomes duty. When it does, we need to check our heart. We need to check our priority. And we need to check our love. Love one another. Let it show, let it show, let it show. Help me let it show, God. Stand firm in the freedom that Jesus has brought you into. It feels good to be free. It feels good to be able to worship in a place. If you want to shout, you can. If you want to cry, you can. I've run around this sanctuary a time or two myself. It feels good to have the freedom to run. It feels good to have the freedom to worship. It feels good to be free in Jesus. There's nothing like it, is there? Seems as if God didn't make me free. Jesus made me free. Hallelujah. Find ways to demonstrate your love for God. Serve. Get involved. Find ways to demonstrate your love for God and for others. Do some acts of kindness. It doesn't have to be orchestrated by me or anyone else in this church. Let God put some things in your heart to do for somebody else. Should have had at least 30 amens out of that. Acts of kindness, cards and visits. God, help us to just show some interest in others. Brother James, you heard me say us. Stand fast in liberty. Stand fast in this freedom. It feels good to be free. Doesn't it? I want you to stand with me and just turn and tell somebody, it feels good to be free. Will you? It feels good to be free.